Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good people, and welcome to once again another episode of the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are here to continue on with our monthly series. This month, we are trying to get everybody ready, trying to get everybody prepared. We're talking about holiday spending priorities, and we have been going kind of deep, but today, tonight, Mama, we're going a little bit deeper. Next week, it's Thanksgiving. What we know is next week is what's called Black Friday. What we know, come Monday, you're really going to start seeing the ads. What we know, let's talk about it for real. What we know, if history repeats itself, that a lot of people are going to go into debt over this holiday. Yes. What we know is that we talk about this every year on the PRF Table. Yes. What we know is there is no excuse for the believer.
And
so tonight we're going to continue on with this series, Holiday Spending Priorities. And we're going to be talking tonight, Mama, from a very challenging subject, if you will. And what we want tonight, we want to get other people involved. I know y'all like listening to me. I know y'all like listening to Mama. But tonight, we really want folks to come on and ask questions. We want folks to that's listening online, we want you to dial in. 347-215-7934 is the number. We want you to join into the conversation, because if you join into the conversation, it'd be a much livelier conversation than listening to old Nate Dunlap speak. And so, Mama, let me go ahead and introduce you. Let me introduce you. So the other person that you hear, ladies and gentlemen, saying, yes, yes, that is Mama around the table. That's what we call her. Her name is Mary Ann Williams, and she's a permanent fixture here on the PR Table. So, Mama, good evening to you, and thank you once again for always being here on the table with us.
Thank you, and good evening to you too, Dr. Dunlap, and good evening to my PRF family. Just really excited that we are all together here one more time. We don't take it for granted, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But with that being said, I'm just going to turn the show back over to moderator. Nathaniel.
Give me all these titles.
Nathaniel Dunlap. Well, just love it. Just love it.
So listen, tonight, I'm going to throw a thought out here really early. And the question, or it's going to be a question. It's going to be a question. I know I like asking questions. The question is this. Do you want to be a spender, or do you want to be a lender during this season? Do you want to be a lender, or do you want to be a spender during this season? And so let me tell you where we're going. And I've learned to stop saying I'm not going to be long, because every time I say that, I'm starting to get like my preacher friends, and I'm saying it about four times. If you listen, I know Mark over there cracking up. It's like, man, I keep saying that. I don't want to say if I'm almost done, because I don't know when I'm going to be done, when the Spirit is doing what the Spirit is doing. So I need to stop saying that, right? That's my flesh trying to cut it off, because you're trying to ready to go home. But you know what? We can go as long as the Spirit say. Anybody that got to go, they got to go. That's how it should be in church. But I digress. So think about that question, Mama. Do you want to be a spender during this season? Do you want to be a lender during this season? And I'm placing an emphasis tonight on this season. Why am I placing an emphasis on this season? Because this is the season where a lot of spending is done and a lot of lending is done. a whole lot more than some other times during the year. So what you got to know is that there's, in order for people to spend, everybody does not have to borrow. Think about
okay.
it. Just because people are spending does not mean that everybody is borrowing. See, if I spent $100 right now, and let's say today was Black Friday, that doesn't mean that I went into debt doing it.
Yeah.
Because I got $100
okay.
in the bank. But if I use
yeah.
a credit card, then now what I've done, I've not just spent, but I've also borrowed.
Yes.
And who did I borrow from? I borrowed from the person who lent. Well,
yes.
who lent? Nobody lent to me on Christmas night in order to have something for 3 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday. Excuse me, on Thanksgiving evening. Nobody's lending to me on Thanksgiving evening so I can go out and spend on Black Friday. That's not what's going on. But what you already have, the credit cards that you already have.
Yes.
Those are oftentimes in place, and people make a conscious decision of what they're going to borrow. In essence, now you're putting yourself into the lending game. Not as the lender, but as the borrower. And so the question again is, do you want to be a spender or do you want to be a lender? Mama, I mean, just let's just really think about that.
Yes. I'm thinking.
let me share something. Let me share something. You know, I like doing my homework, right? I got to do some homework because, you know, folk like to challenge you when you ain't haven't done any homework. Well, I take that back. A lot of folk don't get challenged because for whatever reason. But you're not going to come at me challenging me because I'm going to do a little homework first. I'm going to throw this out there. Just guess, Mama, about, just think back to 2016. So we're going to talk about 2016 for a moment. And I get to a
okay.
scripture for those of y'all. Y'all know I don't, you know, when it comes out, it comes out. So y'all just bear with me. Those of y'all who, you know, think this is like church, you're waiting for the scripture. Just hold on for a moment. It's okay. We'll get there. But Mama, let me just throw this question out there to you.
Yeah.
How many credit cards, just take a guess, take a stab at it. How many credit cards do you think were opened up during Black Friday weekend last year? If you had to throw out a number, if you had to guess,
ooh.
Anybody, you know, you could post it on Facebook. How many would you guess?
I would say about 5,000.
In the whole United States? I wish that was the case. I wish there was only 5,000 credit cards open on Black Friday. Talk about one day. On Black Friday in 2016. I wish that was the case. Mama, you know how many it was? And this is according to one of my
no.
sources.
No.
Well, let me say. Over the past 3 years, when I say past 3 years, I'm talking about 2013, 14, 15.
Okay.
Or let me correct that. 13, 14, 14, 15, and 16. I apologize. 14, 15, and 16.
Okay.
In just 3 years, about 500,000 in-store credit cards were opened up.
Mm.
500,000 during that time. Talk about the day after Thanksgiving. Now, this is not getting a credit card from your bank. This is not getting the type of credit card that you say, I got $300 in my savings account, so I want you to use that $300 as collateral, so I'm not really going in debt, and if you know, and it's not going to let me mess up, because if that's the case, it's going to cut it off, and then it's going to take that $300 that I've kind of put up as collateral so that you can give me this credit card, Mr. Bank. Mm-mm. We're talking about in-store. We're talking about going in. And none of them are paying PRF, so I'm not going to mention them by name, but them department stores. them other stores, which are not department stores, right? In-store credit cards, $500,000 over the past 3 years. This is a report that came out back in 2016, right after the holidays.
Wow, that's a lot.
Now, that was on Black Friday.
Okay.
Now, according to this report, this is out of Business Insider, so I can give the source. That $500,000 on Black Friday, that was up from $150,000 on any other average day in November. So you think about this. There's something to people spending as well as lending on Black Friday. And let's not just stay there on Black Friday, because what happens is it also extends past Black Friday and also through the holidays of Christmas. Let me throw something else at you. There is a need to evaluate your spending, as well as there is a need to evaluate your ability to lend during the holidays. I'll say that again. There is a need to evaluate your spending, as well as the need to evaluate your ability to lend during the holidays.
Ability to lend, okay.
So who am I talking about when I say your? You as an individual, who am I talking about when I say your? Families, your family, people around you. Who am I talking about when I say your? Your church?
Your,
who am I talking about when I say your? Others, right? In others, we can include your community. In others, we can include the schools, the educational system. There is a need to evaluate spending and lending during these holidays. It's no two ways. Mama, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Uh-huh.
Okay. You sound, I couldn't hear you for a minute. We're good now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So listen, I got you. So yeah, I want people to really think about that. Think about that for yourself. Don't think about it because somebody's fussing at you for spending. Think about it for yourself. Now, here's the deal.
Okay.
There's going to be, Mama, do you hear the noise in the background? I don't know what that is.
I think
it's gone now. Whatever it is, let's stay right there. Let's stay right there, please.
Okay.
If you don't do it for yourself, who else are you going to do it for? I really think we're past the time of just saying, if you're going out there and you're spending so much money and it sounds like we're admonishing you and all that, so now it's like, you know what, flip the script. We're going to give you some of these things to think about only because of love.
Okay.
That's it. We're going to ask Mama to help us on that background, if you will, again.
No, I don't have any. Okay, one moment. I don't have anything on. Oh, hold on one moment.
Okay. I can hear you so beautiful and clear now. All right, so listen. So here's where we want to go tonight. As you think about, do you want to be a lender? Do you want to be a spender during these holidays? The reason I'm asking you this question is very simple. Because if you can take the time to evaluate your lending potential, if you can take time to evaluate your spending potential during the holidays, during this time where consumerism is very, very upfront and close and personal to everybody, then do you realize what you can do during the other 10 months of the year? Just think about that for a moment. Do you just think about what you can do during the other 10 months of the year? Can I speak to my Christian believers for a moment? Christian disciples, saints, whatever name you attach to yourself. Can you imagine how much we could do for the kingdom's sake if we just evaluated where we are? Am I a spender or am I a lender? I'm gonna throw some other statistics out there. And again, y'all who are waiting on a scripture, just hold on. I promise you I'm gonna get there. In 2014, and this is according to thebalance.com. In 2014, and I've brought out some of these statistics before over the years, $608 billion was spent. Listen to that number. $608 was spent during Black Friday. During that holiday weekend. I'm going to keep saying it. $608 billion. Okay? 2015, 626, it increased. 2016, 655, it increased. They, quote unquote, they're already anticipating right now that we are going to spend $682 billion during Black Friday weekend. That's what they're anticipating. Okay, so let's bring this down, because it's hard to put yourself into a place of, well, where do I fit in with that $682 billion? I don't have all this money. Let me tell you, there's some average amounts of what people are spending per shopper, right? Amount of money that each person who calls themselves a shopper or who gets involved in this holiday season sales. So in 2014, since you can't wrap your head around $608 billion unless, you know, you're a millionaire or a billionaire, that's like $802 going up to 2016. People would spend not just $802, but it would increase up to $935. That's an average amount per shopper. Now, we understand, let's be fair with this thing, right? We understand that there are some people who shop more and there are some people who shop less. Needless to say, the numbers are still valid, because when I ask you certain questions, such as why does only 43% of the people in this country have life insurance? Yeah, I'm on there again. John had one message. This is where my message is in this season. I'm not getting up off it until y'all increase that number from 43 to 44 to 45 to 46. And I said this before, any of us who have children, any of us who were children growing up in an American household, not homeschool, but in an American educational system, if you came home with a 43, mama, if Nate came home with a 43,
yes,
Nate had to hide that 43 and hope to God he could get that 43 up by the time he took that next test or before that next progress report came out, because a 43 would indicate that there is something seriously wrong.
Yes.
Seriously wrong. And let's talk about these numbers. So let's look at what's estimated. So in 2017, the estimated amount that is going to be spent per shopper is $967.13. Now you think about this. If every person goes out and spends $967, I'm going to say let's take away out of the 57% of the people in this country that don't have life insurance. I'm going to believe, mama, that there are a whole lot of people that could all of a sudden afford it. Think about it like this. The amount of money that $967 during a holiday.
Yeah.
That lets me know that folks can afford life insurance.
Life insurance, yes.
Yes, especially when in that $682 billion, you know you got young folk there too. Yeah. So it's not just older folks, right? It's not just older folks that may have to spend $200, $300, $400, it seems like, for a month for life insurance, or people with health conditions. Barring all that aside, just look at how much money. Now, watch this. If you spend $967 and I spend $967, think about our neighbor who can't afford to spend $967. Think about the neighbor who's going through some things. So I throw that out there at the beginning before I get to the scripture that some of y'all have been waiting on, is that there's no excuse and there is no reason before God why believers particularly are sitting up here uncovered. You know, we did a series called Insurance or God's Assurance, right?
Yes.
A couple months ago, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the principles, the things that God is saying in the season, guess what? They're not going away. You got to understand, Dr. Dunlap is not moving away from them. There's no need to move them. Oh, there's no need to moving away for something that the people ain't got yet. Nah, I'll stop saying it when we do better. Maybe if that was the tone of church instead of let me go somewhere. I'm trying to be quiet, Mark. I'm trying to be quiet. Let me just stay where I'm at. So listen, I want to ask the question, and I want people to respond if you can. What does the Bible say about spending and lending? What does the Bible say about it? And I'm not going all the way in on all of that tonight. I'm not. Because this is the week before Thanksgiving. So guess what we won't have next Thursday on Thanksgiving night? We will not have a show. Because once you give it to the people, you got to give the people an opportunity to act upon what you've given to them. You got to give people an opportunity to receive and meditate and think about it. Think on this. So we need you to think on this because this is the third night this month that we've been on this topic, holiday spending priorities. So again, spending, lending. What does the Bible say about spending? What does the Bible say about lending?
Well, it says it's better to lend than to borrow, you know, making it short.
Okay, all right, we'll take that. So that's what the Bible says about lending. But what does the Bible say about spending? See, go ahead, Mama. You may know it. If you know it, it's okay.
No, I was just thinking that if you have, you know, money to lend, then that means you're not you're personally not doing a lot of spending because you don't have money if you're always spending. So you have to be in control of your spending. So that's why you do have money to lend.
And that, we'll take that answer, right? We'll take that answer for everybody who's listening. But the answer that you responded to, what you came back with, Mama, is exactly why we have to have this type of conversation. Because sometimes the Bible is not very, very clear when it comes to spending. It's not as clear. It talks of it. The scripture that a lot of people have heard, which I'm gonna go to. It talks about lending. People have heard that. And so what happens is people come with their own interpretations of what spending is about and what spending should look like. And it all becomes contextual. It becomes contextual because if I got $100 in the bank, then how I spend $20 may not hurt me. But if I got $5 in the bank, then my concept, my understanding, what I can and cannot do with spending is different than the person that got $100 in the bank.
Yes.
Especially when it's the day after payday. And that's all I got is $5. This stuff, listen, I'm telling you, this stuff is real. Because you got people, trust me, Mama, that 2-3 days after payday don't have no money until the next payday. But see, you don't see those individuals. You don't hear from those individuals. And those individuals sitting right next to you in your church. But yet, during the holidays, we as a doggone nation, let's go with last year, spent $655 billion. But yet can't point to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about spending? You know what? It's better for some folk, I'm going there, it's better for some folk not to know what the Bible says about spending because then they don't have to be accountable. Yeah, then they don't have to be accountable.
Yeah.
Okay, the Bible, where does the Bible say that? And as long as believers can't point to nothing in the Bible, then everybody's coming up with their doggone opinions and conjecture. And God is looking at us like, man, when y'all going to get it? So if you just take your Bible, because some folk like to study, right, and research.
Yes.
So if you go into your Strong's, your Concordance, or your Vines, and you look up the word spend or spending, then you'll see some scriptures that have the word spend in it. But all of those words are not necessarily admonishing us on how to spend. You'll read some text that will talk about the context of spending. But is there a promise about spending? I ain't found it yet.
I don't think so.
But is there a promise that's connected to lending? See, these are the kind of conversations that we need to have, because if you're not having a conversation in your church, in your family, in your community about spending, then there's no reason to cry out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Ain't no need of crying out to him when you don't have nothing as a basis or a foundation when it comes to spending. Because it's easier to go all willy-nilly with your money. The money that you have, and the money that you perceive that you have.
Yes.
And the money that you don't even have.
That's right.
Am I telling the truth? I mean, I'm trying
You're
not to lie
on
this tonight.
It's true.
Listen, we're going to get to that scripture, but we're going to bring in, and we're going to bring our good brother, Minister Mark. Evidently, something has been said that sparked something in him. So, Brother Mark, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right tonight. How you doing, Dr. Dunlap?
We're good. You like the way I slid that title in there, right?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Mama? You doing good tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, it's good to hear you, too. You know, and it tells you, you know, the Bible talks about counting up the costs. But the main thing, but one of the things that it, that the Word of God speaks strongly about is, I would say, I guess you could put it in line with savings. When you think about the talents, and when God was speaking about the talents, and he told the one that put it in the ground, you could have at least, you know, put it in the bank and got interest off of it. So the Word of God speaks strongly about saving to a certain degree. Yeah. So, but when you said about the spending, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was to count up the cost and give, and it shall be given. Those are some of the ones that came up. But I just wanted to say that it speaks strongly about saving or investing.
So we can, let's roll with that, because the Bible talks about giving, but yet a lot of times, what is the giving, the purpose of the giving? Is the giving about buying Christmas gifts, or is it giving to help people? Is it big? Yes. Listen, we have a course. I told y'all this. We have a course called Refuse to Give Out of Ignorance, right? You know, I think I talked about that on the Facebook Live a couple weeks ago. So if you think about this, something that should be foundational for us is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. Right?
Yep.
Let's talk about the purpose of why he gave. Giving should be purposeful. That's one of the five tenets of giving in that course, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that God so loved the world, you believe he loved the world so much, you fit inside the world, you believe that he gave some because you accepted Christ, right? He gave the son, you accepted Christ, you believe that. Then there's a step further to go, and that's going, how did he do it? Well, he said he loved us, okay, but why? There was a purpose of why he had to do that. Maybe something happened in the garden that man got off track with.
mm-hmm.
So maybe there was a need for redemption, right? Maybe there was a need to redeem mankind back to man, and maybe he gave so many people so many options and had different ways of making sure the people were connected back to him and having a relationship with him. And he said, you know what, I guess I got to send a part of myself down. There was a purpose. So now when we go, okay, what are we talking about tonight? Holiday spending priorities. So what then becomes the purpose of why you feel the need, not you, Mark, or Mama, but why you feel the need that you got to spend $967 shopping during the holidays? What's the purpose? So because, see, when you start talking in terms like that, then it takes it away from just from giving, right? Because the money that's being spent, you got to know, that money ain't being spent to feed folk.
Mm-hmm.
That money's not being spent to put clothes on people's backs who need them. That money's not being spent to help folks that's in prison to feel a little bit of love because they locked up or confined. That money's not being spent on helping folks who may be sick and need some medicine because, I'm trying to be quiet, because medication costs so much. So, again, how we look at this as we have this conversation, are we giving during the holidays or are we just spending? That's deep. That's a deep thought right there.
It's extremely deep, and I think you have to go back. I'll go back a little bit further when you talk about the house of God and when prosperity is being taught in the house of God. Give and it shall be given, or give and it shall be given, give and shall be given. You know, you hear that in the house of God, and you know, and it's expounded upon. But what happens, you know, when God said give and it shall be given, when God spoke about giving, it was giving out of love when he speaks about giving, like you said, when there's a need. But what's happening in the house of God when you start talking about prosperity and it's given to be given, it'll be given, given to be given, what happens is it turns into the greed becomes that, because, well, if I give, I can get. If I give, I can get. And see, there's an opposite effect that happens there. God told you to do it, but he told you to do it because he told you to do it out of love and out of need. But when prosperity is being taught, it actually turns to greed, and we're missing it. Is what's happening. It actually becomes a selfish thing, because we're looking to get something back out of it. And when you give, because when you talk about love, the word of God used love as charity, use the word charity. And charity is something when you give, you don't expect anything in return. So we've totally kind of missed it there a little bit. I just really feel like it's being harped on so much in the house of God until it has turned, is the direct opposite of what God was speaking of at that time. And still speaking.
And just to take take it further or to add to, you know, when Jesus said, given it shall be given to you, not Matthew 7:7-8, but Luke 6.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 6, right? Luke 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Yeah.
Will men give unto your bosom?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're thinking about, you know, because it's easy to try to put this giving thing into the spending, and I'm going to tell you that giving and spending are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, if you look it up, what it means in the Greek, you're going to find two different explanations. Bottom line, nobody can challenge me on that, right? So as I'm spending during the holidays, I'm just spending on whatever. But I have no reason to believe that other folks should spend on me. But if I'm taking that terminology and I say I'm spending, but I'm going to add that I'm really giving, then it's easy to try to take this scripture and say, well, somebody should be giving back to me. But because giving is different from spending. Spending is what you do. Giving is what comes from what you spend, but giving also doesn't have to require you to spend anything. Uh-oh, as Bishop Zimmerman would say, uh-oh. Giving does not require me to have to spend anything. Because still talking about Jesus, right? Because what does it take for me to go, if your heart leads you, right, to the nursing home or to the prison, or to give some food, you're riding down the street and you got some McDonald's in your car that you just purchased because money ain't an issue to you, and then you see somebody who has a sign on the side of the road, it don't take anything. You didn't spend that money on that food for that other person. But if your heart said, you know what, look at my brother or my sister, and you're remembering Matthew 25, then you just gave, but you didn't spend to give. It's a very big difference. So I'm glad you brought it up, because folks need to understand, don't go talk about, it's about giving, and you can't even evaluate your spending. It doesn't add up. It just does not add up. So what does the Bible say about spending? That's a good one, because it's hard. It's difficult to find where the reason why we're spending during the holidays has any biblical basis whatsoever. You can't – listen, I give you – if somebody can find that for me in the Bible, I give you 10 copies of our book. Matter of fact, I give you 10 copies of my book, and I give you 10 copies of Nikki's book. Hopefully the board don't think I lost my mind. But I'm that confident that it ain't there. I'm that confident that it's not there. Two different things. So now let's go to that scripture that some of y'all been waiting on. Let me see. I think there may have been one more. It's something that you said, Brother Mark, that you mentioned the talents, right? You mentioned the talents, Matthew 25,
right?
The three servants.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, it's easy to talk about what somebody else should have done. Like so many people use that scripture, have used that scripture, hold on to that scripture about, well, the one who had the one talent, look at what he did. But my question is, what are you saving? And I don't say that to be condemning to anybody. But again, I have to get this is where I'm wired. I got to get y'all to thinking and evaluating and saying these things. So you say, where am I saving? Am I spending and not saving? Well, something got to be wrong with that picture, because when you get in trouble, where you go? Mm-hmm. Remember the story about the ant, Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8?
Mm-hmm.
And so with this story, with this parable that Jesus said in Matthew 25, you had three characters. One had five, the other had two, and the other had one. And the first two, they invested. Okay, well, hold on. Let me ask you a question. So during this holiday period, I'm throwing it all in here tonight because this is our last one before Black Friday. So as you get ready to spend during the holiday, is your priority spending or is your priority saving? Is your priority spending or is your priority investing? If spending comes before investing, which investments are for your long term, then you may have a short term mentality. If your spending comes before your saving, and you're spending money that you should be able to just spend because you've saved it up all year, but you didn't do like the ant, you sluggard. And so now you got to rely on borrowing for those who have to borrow, or you work two or three extra jobs to get extra, but your debt has not been taken care of. And the same debt, you carry more debt than you should into 2018. But you're talking about when you go, oh my goodness, I got to say it. Don't go up in church on New Year's Eve. And don't stand in the pool. Don't go, I'm talking to the members, don't go up in church on New Year's Eve believing that God's just going to make your 2018 better. Oh, no. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, pastors, bishops, all of us that may have an opportunity to stand before God's people on watch night service, almost choked when I said that, watch night service, whatever you want to call it, because some folks don't want to be back in the day. So, you know, New Year's Eve service. And don't stand up in there talking about all the blessing that God has for the folks. They're going, mm-mm. Because in 3 months, as it is every year, it still ain't happening for folk.
Mm-hmm.
Mama laughing at me. And you think about it, because it don't start there. It starts right now. It starts today, where we say to people, look, I need you to evaluate your spending, your lending now. Because, see, if you do like the ant, and you evaluate where you are right now, and then you take a step like the ant. The ant didn't say, ooh, we know we need to go ahead and save up and go ahead and get some of this food for the winter and then don't get up off their ant butt. Don't change any behavior. They're not going to have anything in the winter. So guess what you got to understand? January is coming. If you don't do anything till January, so you can't wait on the income tax return, you just can't do it. That ain't helping. That ain't working for folk. I'm telling you, folk ain't doing the right thing when it comes to that either. So it may look like, it gives the appearance that things are better. But it doesn't last. I'm telling you right now that if you're not willing to evaluate your spending before a time when you know that people are going to go out the Yahoo spending, what are you going to do when January come around? So I'm off of that. I don't know if I'm on a soapbox, but I try not to be. I try not to be, because I really want people to get it. I don't want folks feeling bad. I want folks to be able to say, you know what? Okay, God,
you know,
I received that conviction. Go ahead, Mama.
Okay. I have a question here. What are your suggestions to those who are brought up in Christmas tradition about giving, you know, of course, on Christmas Day, and they're used to going out getting a loan to buy these gifts for everyone, but now they've been listening to the PRF table and spending, and they're really wanting to change their spending habits, you know, in this area, but don't want to be looked upon as an outcast in a family because it's just been passed down from generation to generation.
Good question, Mama. Mark, you want to take a stab at it? If you want to take a stab at it, I'll let you go and take a stab at it, brother.
Well, I mean, well, personally, I just speak for myself. You know, as a believer, you know, we're a peculiar people. It doesn't bother me to be different, because if it's a stand that I have to take, and after I explain it, and if it's not understood, I'm okay with that. I mean, that's just where I am, because I understand that I don't fit anyway. So, you know, I, as a believer, I don't look to fit the standard of the world. So, and even with guys that I work with, because they're different thinkers as well, you know, and what Dr. Dunlap is asking about the spending or the lending, I've listened to conversations over the last several weeks about, you know, man, I tell you, cable is expensive. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go ahead and get the fire stick, or get what I'm going to get, and I'm going to cut the cable off, and I'm going to do this and do that. And so to me, that when you do stuff like that, that's long. You're looking long haul. That's a long haul outlook of things. Cable is $100 bare bone. I can turn around and do away with that, and I can invest in something that's called $45, and then turn around and watch any and everything I want to watch. You know, so the mindset. So I know that's kind of off of what you're saying, but that, to me, that's long term investment when you're talking about spending, or, you know, or for the holidays. But to answer your question, it doesn't bother me. I'm used to being against the grain. I'm against the grain type guy. I consider myself to be the minority, not the majority. So it just wouldn't bother me to answer your question, Mom. But Dr. Dunlap, I'm sure you probably I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about it.
What I'm reminded of, or what you reminded me of, is by talking about being different. Philippians 2:2-5, if I'm not mistaken, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So let's press the envelope. What would the mind of Jesus be when it comes to spending during the holiday season? See, when you start throwing out questions like that, and if you can come back and say, Lord, I guess I'll get to lending, but if you can come back and say, well, Jesus is cool with me spending $900 and not having life insurance. If you can come back and say that, spending $900 on stuff, but I ain't got life insurance to leave nothing for my children. If you cool with saying that, to just be upfront, bold enough to say, my Jesus, cool with me spending like this, but not having certain things in place. Would Jesus really go out and spend X amount of dollars on this, knowing that there's some people that you ain't paid, that you already laid on? Would your Jesus be cool with that?
Nope.
If you can say that out loud, yo, Jesus is cool. But listen, this thing is, you got to be able to say it. And see, all I want to do is I want to hear you say it, because if I hear you say it, then I know where you at. But if you ain't willing to say it, then that lets me know there's an option. There's a space ready for conflict transformation. If you can't come up and say that, because you know deep down inside, hold on, I was late on my rent last month, but here I am going to spend X amount of dollars on Christmas gifts, and it's a whole month away, and I got another rent period or another mortgage period payment in between that time, which means I may be late, but, you know, I got that grace period. Y'all need to take that course when it come. When we do it, Mark, listen, I'm telling you, credit and debit first cousins. I'm telling you, God has released me to offer that again in a whole different way in 2018. Y'all got to get it, because, see, some of this stuff right here, God ain't having it. And you think about, even if you keep going down in the verses with Philippians, right? What being found in the fashion of man, in the form of man, he humbled himself and he became obedient up unto death, even to the cross. So if Jesus did that, right, what you gonna say, let his mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus? Well, what did he do? He came himself as a man up. Woman up, look, I ain't got it right now. That's the response, Mama. I ain't got it. How many times as a kid I heard, I ain't got it? I thought that was my name during the holidays. I ain't got it. Huh? Who that? And then the scripture kept on going, right? He mad though. He right came himself as a man, and he humbled himself. So let's take it in a serious tone. You got to humble yourself before God, because if you don't humble yourself before God, you'll be prideful before man. And then he became obedient unto death. Well, you can't go quoting the scripture that talking about Paul saying, I got to crucify my flesh daily. But doggone, how the heck you crucifying your flesh daily when you can't even do it during a holiday? I'm talking about Black Friday. So something must have them, so that means they're not trying to die to their flesh. And we know Jesus went all the way to the cross. So you mentioned it a couple minutes ago, Brother Mark. You said what? Carrying our cross?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we got to carry our cross. So guess what?
We got to carry
it. On my cross, guess what I don't want to carry on my cross during the holiday season? My cross is already heavy enough. You know this, bro. My cross is already heavy enough. Ain't no way in the world I want to add a whole bunch of debt onto my cross. Ain't no way I want to add folk calling up on me after December 1st, you know, during that time before Christmas, on my cross. Ain't no way in the world I want my children not having something because I done spend it on $200 sneakers or that's too cheap, or $800 iPhone. But then they don't have some of the necessities, or I don't even have insurance on myself if I die. I don't want to carry that on my cross. So if we gonna say we like Christ, want to be Christ-like, we got to make some different decisions. And Mama, that's where it goes. What decision are you willing to make? Just like it's a decision to carry your cross, just like Christ made a decision to carry his cross for us. We get knuckleheaded sometimes. What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Mama.
That's a good one.
You know, I was just pondering over something that I had heard from someone was saying, you know, to another sister. Of course, they were discussing finances, and she was, you know, just trying to enlighten her that $500 is too much for a 13-year-old to have this type of phone, iPhone, whatever it was a phone. And, you know, she just said if that's what she wants, that's what she's going to get. And I said, okay, what about the food? Because they don't have food in their home a lot of times. And so we say the case is closed.
Oh, my goodness, Mama. You done hit something. I'm trying to get away from this, but, you know, I can't go nowhere until God let me go. You mentioned food. Again, y'all know statistics, right? Can I throw something out there to you since you just mentioned something about food in the household? Remember what I said. There's a need to evaluate your spending as well as evaluate your ability to lend during the holidays. We ain't got to lending, but that's fine. And what I say earlier, the top of the hour, about your spending, yourself, how you're spending, your family spending, your church, other, right? So you think about that. What you just mentioned was family. Spending priorities, that's affecting your family.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned it from a perspective of food. So let me ask, I throw this out there, not to be rhetorical, but you just think about this, y'all, those of y'all who are listening. Out of $655 billion that was spent, how much of a dent during a holiday season could we have made in hunger throughout all of 2017? If you give me $100,000, not me, Nate, but PRF, somebody give us $100,000 to deal with feeding folks, not only will we be feeding them, Brother Mark, but we would also be educating them as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it wouldn't be just giving a person a fish. My God. We'd be out there teaching them to fish.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
See, with $100,000, you can create a lake, or what is, you can create a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put some catfish. And I don't know if that's the right one we want to put in there, but you can put some type of fish in the pond. And you can buy a whole bunch of doggone poles. So you know what? Instead of people being on the side of the, oh my God. Instead of people being on the side of the highway saying we'll work for food, give them a fishing pole and put them in the lake.
There you go.
Mm. And let them pull out their own fish. But you can't. Why, oh, this is a good transition. I figured it was going to come somehow. But if you don't have the pond, then all you're doing is sending somebody to a place where you're hoping that there's fish.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, uh-uh, this thing ain't about sending somebody to a body of water, hoping that, you know, there's a bunch of bodies of water that don't have no fish in it, that's
mm-hmm.
not fit for human consumption of anything in there.
That's right.
So watch this transition. The same way, if we had the resources, PRF, others, where we could do more and help more people, is the same way God wants us to have the same mentality as his children when it comes to lending and borrowing. So watch this transition. Oh, this is smooth. And I just hit up somebody and said, we're just not going to be off by 9 o'clock, but you know me, it's okay. Mama, I think you mentioned it earlier. You mentioned about being the lender and not the borrower.
Yes.
Let me put a plug in it. So think about this. The lender and not the borrower. I've already said that out of the $600+ billion that was spent last year, it does not mean that everybody borrowed money to spend. But you got to know, if 500,000 credit cards was opened in 2016 during this time, this season, that people didn't open up the credit cards in the stores, y'all, not to spend in the stores. There's a reason why there's store credit cards, so that you can spend them in the store. They're not, nobody's standing outside of Macy's trying to get you just to have a regular Visa so you can go shop somewhere else. No, the Visa's for Macy's, JCPenney's, or whatever else. It's for that particular store. And you got to understand, you don't have to go to them. Sometimes they come to you through your email, on your timeline, in the mail.
Yes.
So watch this. Please, y'all stay with me, because this right here is deep. So how do we get to the place of being that group of people, that peculiar people, as Mark said, that are the ones that's able to help and deal with certain issues? Help and deal with certain things going on in people's lives, the ones we know and the ones we don't know. Oh yeah, you gotta be careful with just trying to help folks you know, because if you do that, then you're gonna miss the boat, because Jesus is gonna probably put you as a goat and side with the goats and not with the sheep. Matthew 25. Y'all go read it when we're done. All right. So I want to have a pond, right? And I want to be able to put fish in there. And I want to be able to have the fish in there and give people fishing poles. So I want to give them, because I want them to have something better. So there's a relationship that I'm trying to develop with some people so that life will be better for them. Well, let me help y'all with something. God set some stuff up the same way, so that life will be better for us as believers. And I have to say as believers, because that's the time in which we are right now. If I was speaking in the time as our ancient Israelite brothers and sisters had come out of Egypt, then we would be talking about the children of Israel. So y'all got the comparison. If you can't visualize having a pond, putting fish in it so that people don't have to beg for food, all you got to do is put them at the pond so they can pull out their own food. How can you ever conceptualize being a lender? So many people don't even think about the lending piece during the holidays because they're so much more consumed with being a borrower. Well, why do I say that? Because I just read you, according to Business Insider, 500,000 people opened up in-store credit cards last year a week from next week or a week from today. So people have said, for whatever reason, whether they needed it or did not need it, what we know is that they did it. They opened up accounts, which meant that they're not lending. They're putting themselves into a place of borrowing. Now, Mama, Mark, let me just throw this out there. If we just take the low end and say 25% of that 500,000 were believers, think about the debt that came along with being the borrower. If you don't believe that in this season, that God is telling his people right now, I need you to be thinking about being the lender. If you think about being a lender, then you can't focus so much on being a spender. Because the only way that you can be a true lender is if you're not in bondage to spending. The only way you can be a true lender if you're not in bondage to being a borrower. So in this season right now, this ain't going to apply to everybody. It doesn't apply to everybody. Those of you who are listening, God needs us to be the lenders. Mama, you mentioned the scripture, right?
Okay.
For the Lord God will bless you. The Lord God will bless you as he has promised. And
okay.
You will be, it says, and you shall lend unto many nations. But you shall not borrow. And you shall reign over many nations. But they won't reign over you. Can I throw something out there?
Yes.
When you spending $655 billion, but we've got so much poverty, we got so many folks without insurance, it's not all about a borrowing thing right now. But we're still subject to many nations.
Mm. Yes, we are.
Still subject to it. And it's not just in today's time, it's not just because of the borrowing. Also because of the spending. As a man who is black and proud to have the skin that I have and the DNA that I have, it is so disheartening to know how much money the trillions of dollars that black people spend in this country but can't lend nobody nothing. Oh, yeah. Now, hold on now. I ain't done. Because I also think about churches and the spending that's done in churches, but can't lend a person who calls themselves sowing into that said church or ministry, but can't come back and borrow from the places they sowed into. Oh, so I can sow into it, but I got to reap my harvest somewhere else? That foolishness. But maybe it's because of not having the proper understanding. So I'm going to give everybody a way out right now, Mark. Maybe it's because of not having a proper understanding of what it actually means to be a lender and not a borrower. See, if you don't understand right now, that next year is going to be worse than this year. See, this year is just a bunch of talk and a bunch of mess. But next year is when everything starts to really take effect. Mark, you heard the message earlier this year. You heard the warning.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
We in that period right now. And I didn't think about it till just now. Oh, my God. Now it's starting to come together. Now I'm starting to understand it a little bit better because of where we are right now on this day at this time.
Mm.
Jack, if we don't get our stuff together quickly, next year is already destined to be what next year could be.
Mm.
But if we don't take a turn as the church, and I hate to say as the church, as my church, some of the churches that I know about from y'all,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, don't get mad crying on Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's already provided. He's provided $655 billion in 2016. What else you want? What else do you want from a guy that you done spent collectively $655 billion? What else could you possibly want him to give you?
Mm.
This ain't a feel good, but this thing is so serious right now in my spirit.
Yes, it is.
Mm, yes.
So if we don't get it together right now, for the ones who just choose not to get it together right now, I wish I had the words to be able to say of what it's going to look like next year. If you think we're on an upwards trajectory in this country, you ain't in America. You're in an internet America, maybe, you know, where you can make things be like you want it to be. But if you live in here, Mm-mm. So how do we get there? Let's look at the text. Deuteronomy 15, y'all. Deuteronomy 15. The Lord God will bless you as he promised, okay? See, folks hear the, Mama, you quoted it too somewhere, right? You was loose in it, and you said that. You shall lend to many nations, you shall not borrow. But let's go back to what the scripture actually says versus what you're trying to get folks to be able to say, not you, Mama, but other folks. You should be the lender and not the borrower. You should be the head and not the tail. You got to be the tail if you're spending $655 billion and still ain't got Jack to show for it. You got to be the tail if you're spending $655 billion and you can't even put together a pond and folks still on the side of the streets. Got to be the tail. But there's a lot of people who are not the tail. And they're the head. But where are the ones that are the heads within the body? Because somebody's in charge right now. Somebody's running the show when it comes to the financial DNA of our country, of many churches, and in many communities and municipalities around this country, mine included. What he said before, he said, you shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. Did you catch what he said before then, Mama?
Yes, he said you shall lend but not borrow.
Before he said that, though, before he said that, he said, and you shall. So it's just a simple thing for me, just reading it, saying, hold on, and you shall. Well, what was the first thing? The first thing was, before you shall be a lender to many nations and not borrow, the first thing that he said was, he will bless you as he promised you. So if you have no freaking idea what the promise was, how the heck are you going to deal with half of what God is speaking? Well, I'm just going to be the lender and not the borrower. But you ain't got no idea what the promise was.
Mm.
Think about it. The promise was God blessing the people. The Lord God, for the Lord God will bless you as he has promised. So you can't be the lender until you are blessed. am I off? I mean, am I reading it wrong? Somebody let me know if I'm reading it wrong.
Mm-mm.
For
no.
you, for the Lord your God will bless you as he promised, and you will lend. So being able to lend has to do with how you are blessed. So when you walk around church and you're on church and you're in your job and say, oh, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Tell me what you can lend. I'm being so serious. Tell me what you can lend. Listen. When we talk about lending, it doesn't have to be lending $100,000 to somebody. But it could be. If you're willing to expand your mind that God owns all of this, the cattle on a thousand hills, so why can't I be the person that lends somebody $100,000? Well, let me help you out. Brother, sister, you ain't going to never be able to lend nobody $100,000 if you can't even save $5,000. The only way that a person is able to lend is if a person has. And you got to understand the context of the text. The text was for his people and how they were supposed to operate once they got into the promised land. In Deuteronomy, they're not in the promised land yet, Mama. They're on their way to the promised land. Remember, Deuteronomy comes after Numbers. Numbers was 39 years, 10 months. Deuteronomy is about 30 days. Leviticus was about 30 days on the front end. So this is on the backside before they go into the promised land. So God is giving, but here's what he said. Remember, so for the Lord God will bless you as he's promised. Well, hold on, let's back it up a little bit. The preceding verse says, if only you obey the Lord and carefully obey all the commands that I'm giving you today. So if you want to be a lender and you think that you're a lender, you say that you're a lender, and you realize that you should not be borrowing from a whole bunch of other nations. And then you recognize, hold on. I'm blessed, and I'm operating in the blessing that he has promised. And then you back it up again and say, okay, well, how do I get that blessing? Well, I get that blessing because, not because of who God is. It is because of who God is. But God's blessing comes after, right? He's fulfilling the promise, and there's conditions to the promises. And the condition was, if you only fully obey the Lord your God, and two things, so obeying and carefully following. Okay, see, this thing ain't just this one time. Careful to follow all of these commands. Well, what commands was that? If you don't have any idea what the commands that God made, that he gave to his people, how are you going to follow something that you don't know is there? Can we continue to back it up? The beginning of the chapter, the beginning of the dialogue that God has said was about releasing folks from debt. And God has already set it up for his children as they got into the promised land for them not to be in debt over 7 years. Well, that's what God said, right? Okay, I'm going to do it. But you got to carefully obey that thing too, right? Because God said exactly how it was supposed to have been done. Everybody who was a creditor, listen, you can't be a creditor if you're always a borrower. It's hard to be a creditor when you're constantly a very good spender. But he says to the creditor, or he says to them, that everybody who was a creditor, they got to cancel their loans that they made to their fellow Israelite. So I'm about done. What does that say for us today? In order to cancel a loan, I'm going to make it real simple. In order to cancel a loan that I made to Bishop Zimmerman, I have had to have something to loan them. To loan her. Simple. But peeling back the onion, where do I get what it is that I have in order to be able to loan? And then God said, don't require them don't require nobody to pay anything from their own, get anything from their own people. So at the end of the 7 years, I'm not coming to Bishop Zimmerman anymore. Because, see, the Lord has set a time. He has set an appointed time that this release of debt has come at the end of every 7 years. Now, here's the other part. God said that this is what he wants to happen among believers, among the children of Israel. So let's think about today. What did God say? These statutes, commandments, these were things that we were supposed to be following through all future generations. That's what he said. You already heard me say what he said in his word to obey all these commandments which I give to you today. God said that every 7 years. So until we get to a point of where I'm able to lend to Bishop Zimmerman, lend to Mama, then that means we're not in control. Mark, you said this the other day about dominion. We were designed, created by God to have dominion.
Yes.
So we should have dominion over this spending thing. We should have dominion over this lending thing. Because if we had dominion over this lending thing, then we wouldn't be the borrowers that we are outside of the body. I'm amazed that God said, you know what? This is how I want y'all to be as my children, in the place that I'm taking you to. I got you going through all of this so that when you get into this place that I'm sending you to, the place that I already set up for you, all you got to do is borrow from each other. But I don't want y'all in bondage to each other. Only thing I want y'all to do is when 7 years come, just cancel it. It's done. That's it. It's done. But I'm gonna hook y'all up, though. I'm gonna hook you up. So God said, listen, you can get it from other folks, like the foreigners that are living there among you. You can get it from them. But your fellow Israelite who owes you, it's a wrap. He reiterates this. It's a wrap. It's over. So, again, let's go back to where people hear all the time. You should be a lender to many nations, but you won't borrow from them, right? But what else did God say before he said that? There will be no poor people among you. For in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, y'all know that's one of my words, he will richly bless you. So if you cannot see right now that you're blessed, that his richly blessing them is tied into how they were obedient, to how they handled debt and credit, because then it goes, for the Lord your God will bless you as he's promised. If you do this, so for so many people not to even have an inheritance that has been passed down to them, it lets me know that we have spent so much and given away so much. But there is a remnant of people out here that understands, you know what, in order to be the lender, I have to have something to lend. And the truth of the matter is, I may not be a lender. Well, I am. I will be, Dunlap. I am and will be. But somebody listening may not be a lender in their time frame, because maybe they need to go back to setting it up for their children or their children's children so they have an inheritance, so their inheritance, the ones who get the benefit of the inheritance, can be the lenders. See, when you mess up God's plan, when you go to the left or to the right, then there has to be some people out here that says, let me start this thing off again. Mark, you play basketball very well.
Yes.
Listen, y'all, he'll shoot the lights out on you. I don't know if he wanted that secret out, but he'll shoot the lights out on you. If you're down in the basketball game, somebody got to stay. It's got to come up and say, okay, hold on now. We ain't going out like this. Somebody who has some good skills need to get the ball in their hand. Let me tell you, LeBron does it almost every time. I watched the game last night. He said, this thing ain't happening. And he will run the court. He will get the ball at one end of the court, and Mark, you know it like I know it. He will go and take seven steps, and he in the, underneath the next basket.
Oh, yeah.
And either somebody has fouled him or that thing done went in the hoop.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't wasting no time. That's the way, guys, people have to be right now. So listen, we ain't got time for all this lavish spending, all this wasteful spending. We need to be positioning ourselves to be the lender. Because you got to understand, there's a whole bunch of stuff that is coming in 2018 that will take effect. And if your eyes ain't open, oh my God. Go ahead, bro.
I'm gonna say something. You really making me dig into my Bible study within that's out of got pushed out on me that if the Lord doesn't change, I'll give it in the next 2 weeks. But I'll just go ahead and go here. All this reminds me of I'm doing a Bible study. I'm just gonna give you just a tidbit of it. And it talks about the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this man was in a place. The environment was a precursor to what he was looking for. He was actually looking for the environment to heal him instead of God. Now the thing about it is, and I want to tie that into a parallel with the house of God. There are Bethesda ministries where you have people that are crippled. See, the man was in a place where everybody was crippled and nobody could help anybody, and he was comfortable there. Now you get over into the house of God where there are people that are in a crippling state, and then nobody can help anybody, and everybody comfortable where they are. There are Bethesda ministries out there that have people crippled spiritually, financially. And see, the thing about it is, yes, God has more for us, but I just have to keep it real and have to be honest about it. There are Bethesda ministries that have kept people in a crippling state, and they can't get out.
My God. This is not going to sound good for some folk. I know it's not. I know it's not. So I'm saying it up front. If you take that same passage out of John chapter 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that I bet some folks probably never thought about. Out of all the times that somebody, some of you listening, some of my colleagues that may have preached from that text, or taught from that text. Matter of fact, we use that in one of our financial healing course. Did anybody ever realize that out of all the people that went there on that day when the waters were stirred up, because believing that the angel of the Lord was the one that was responsible for the healing when they got into the pool, did anybody ever realize before now that out of all those people, Jesus only had an encounter with one?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was not the only, that man was not the only person there.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus only had an encounter with one.
That's it.
So I'm going to challenge folks to get your mind and your spirit in a place of saying, Lord, I'm the one. I need that encounter with Jesus, because some of this stuff and this crap I'm going through, it shouldn't be. I'm supposed to be the lender. Help me to get to be where I'm a lender. But I'm going to challenge you and say a lot of it has to do with your spending. So therefore, you got to ask God, help you with your spending. Okay, well, I'm not doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff, but okay, yeah, you may not go overboard and spend $1,000, but what's your spending priority? Because if there's some things I'm supposed to be taking care of, obligations that I've already made but have not been able to keep, am I going to spend that which I owe to somebody else on? Oh my God. the money that gets spent, how many folks really think about where the money that they're spending during the holidays and who is going to? I mean, let's be real with this thing. I'm about to go, but let's be real with this thing. So many people that are in lack in your families, that are in lack in your churches, that are in lack in your communities, but yet where are you spending your money? Uh-oh. That's going to hit one demographic real hard, black folk. Let's just call it what it is. Within 6 hours, black folk money is going out the community, whatever that community looks like. And because a lot of black folk don't live in, quote, unquote, in a black community, still guilty. If it's going somewhere and you don't have anything to show for it. And I ask this question every year. What did you get last year for Christmas? Mama, I asked that 2 weeks ago. And some folks couldn't even answer what they got last year for Christmas. So that lets me know, out of what I may have said or what I may have done, calling myself spending to give to you, Mama, but yet you don't even remember what it was 10 months later. But I made that a priority last year. Well, it's the same way when we spend our money for the one who receives the money for what we're giving them, which oftentimes is inflated goods and services during the holidays to make it look like you're getting some deals. But I want y'all to think about, out of all the money you're going to spend with Apple, I wonder if the executives at Apple don't have insurance, but yet you done spent your insurance money on a phone. Now I'm saying something that may slap somebody in the face right now. Or some sneakers. Or gift cards. Or airline tickets. Think about who that money is going to. Or the interest that goes to the banks who are backing those in-store department cards.
That's good.
But yet, when you go to borrow, I want you to think about this, y'all. But when you go to borrow, are you forced to go to one of those five payday loan, title palm, such and such finance companies? Are you forced to go there because of what you done spent put you in a place where now you have to borrow, but the people you have to go to borrow from is not one of your own within this community of believers, and they don't operate by Deuteronomy 15. There's some cycles that come with debt. There's some cycles, S-C-Y-C-L-E-S, that comes with borrowing all the time. I'm going to say it like I mean it. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. But if you can't control yourself, you got time before next week to ask God to give you the strength to control yourself. Because, see, here's the deal. A lot of folk are going to be looking for help during the holiday seasons. And when the believers can't help, where you think they're going? And it's a doggone shame before God and man. When believers in particular can't get help from other believers. But it's even worse for the unbeliever. They can't get help from the believers. Because, Mark, you and I was talking about this. Don't go trying to talk to nobody telling somebody they need to be saved when they're hungry. What kind of foolishness is that? Because Jesus didn't do it. Jesus dealt with what their issue was. Jesus dealt with what their need was. And so since we say that we're Christians, believers, disciples, if you're not going to do the discipling thing, if you're not going to do the Christian thing, the believer thing, then like I said in that message that time, Mark, you might as well go ahead and take that hat off.
That's right.
Y'all know that little piece of commercial I'm talking about. You might as well go ahead and take it off. Don't even say it. You can still be a Christian, right? But just stop saying it so folk don't come. One of the worst things in the world, I'm on a soapbox now, but one of the worst things in the world is people coming to somebody who they believe can help them, but then they can't help them or don't help them when they come to them. It makes it harder for everybody else that comes behind them. Every other believer gets looked at the same way. Hold on. Oh, you one of them. I'm telling you, this thing with lending is connected to borrowing. You will not, or you will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. When God says you will, you got to ask your question. Are you in that will? If we're not, listen, we are not ruling over many nations. We ain't even ruling over communities. Not in the magnitude that we're supposed to be. And I'm holding my mule, brother, because when 2018 comes and what's coming and what I know God has already shown, those who are involved with PRF, they're going to see you will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you.
My God,
I wish I could release it right now. But hey, mark my words, unless Jesus come back before, we're going to live out this right here. God ain't giving this to me for the night. I think we got this last week, Mama.
Yes.
God ain't giving this for no reason. Whoever wants to be on the train will get to take the journey. It's the same way with salvation. You can believe it. You can believe it or not believe it. But at some point, the rubber going to meet the road. And if the sky crack open and that trumpet sound, Jack, if you ain't made a decision by then, it's going to be a little troubling and difficult for you. I'm just telling you. And Dunlap ain't going to be here because I already know. I'm not going to be here. There's going to be no more PRF table. There's going to be a 666 table. It'll be over. What did Jesus say? I must work the works of he who sent me while it is night, while it is day, because nighttime is coming when no man can work. Do you really believe that this does not apply to lending and borrowing? We already see so much that we don't have the ability to lend. But yet we're sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You may not want to say that no more if you ain't part of the lending crew. Or not even connected to the lending crew. If everything you got to borrow, everything, every place that you go to borrow is outside of the body of Christ, that means there's work to be done. And the truth of the matter is, just because it ain't in your community does not mean it's not out there. See, some folk got to stop being lazy. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not going to be in your own individual community every time. Because we're not in the same type of geographical communities that we're speaking about from this biblical text. All God's people were together in one place. And you realize that that's how God intended it to be. So if we're scattered, it makes it easier for the devil to divide and conquer. And that joke has done a pretty good job. Between that and our flesh, has done a pretty good job. But I'm declaring that this thing is turned around.
Amen.
It's only turned around for those who have the desire. See, y'all got to know, those who may not really know, my degree, this doctorate degree that I have, is in conflict transformation. And I was thinking about something earlier. I was thinking about contacting one of my partners, who, Dr. Spence Murray, who graduated along with me out of that cohort. And I thought about something today as I was riding. I said, you know, with conflict transformation, it's not going to work unless you have a desire to be transformed. So that means now we're starting to narrow down the remnant or the people to a remnant, because there's only a remnant of God's people that truly want to be transformed. And those are the ones that's going to be on the train. So the question is, what you want to do? What are you going to do between this week and next week? And maybe the week after? Because they're not going to stop trying to get our money. But that's going to be the test. There's no way in the world that next year I should be talking about, well, we done, last year in 2017, we done spent $700 billion. I shouldn't say that. But here's what we're going to do. Next year, we'll be able to talk to the remnant. And Mark, let's look at and let's see what the remnant says. Instead of talking about how much was spent, we're going to talk about how much we done lent.
Amen to that.
We're going to talk about how much we done lent.
Yes, sir.
Guys, setting this thing up so smooth. Yeah, we're going to talk about how much we done lent. And provided the Lord does not come back for a couple of years to let this thing grow and grow and grow, we'll lend and we'll lend and we'll lend. There's no excuse for us not living out what God has said. Mama Mark, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I say that for real. So whatever y'all say, I'm not coming behind y'all. I promise you.
Well, I don't have much to say at all. I've definitely enjoyed the show tonight, and there was some deep things that have went forth across the table to really think about. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to what God has coming down the pipeline for PRF and for the body of Christ, for the kingdom. So, like I said, other than that, I don't really have anything to say. It's just been an intriguing night.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, here's what I want to make sure, and this is not me coming behind you, but I just want to make this announcement. So tomorrow, y'all know the wonderful Kimberly Salas, she's the host of Your Health is Your Wealth here on PRF Table, and she will be having her show, which will be tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and she will have the returning guest, Pastor Vanessa Bowler of End Time Ministries. And when I tell you that they got it in on that first show of this month, so you can only expect that it will be just as intriguing or even better. And so we want you to tune in and be supportive of that part of PRF, because Kimberly is one of the members of our team in PRF, and we don't just support the PRF table. We support whatever any of us is doing on the team. So, again, please tune in to what God is going to be speaking tomorrow through Pastor Boiler and also from Kimberly Salas. And join us back here next Thursday, or excuse me, the following Thursday, not next Thursday. What's that date, y'all?
Let's see.
30th. So guess what? Y'all get to get one more show under the same topic after Black Friday.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting, because I'm going to be looking to see what we done. I'm going to be looking. I promise you I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be looking to see what folk, not we have done, what folk have done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be out there. The data is going to be out there by Monday. Well, I take it by Tuesday. The data is going to be out there because we got Cyber Monday. Yeah, we got, mm-hmm. since Black Friday don't work, and you know, that Saturday sometimes don't work, and we go ahead and got to get y'all on the Monday. So since y'all going to do that, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you like my cousin Tyrone said, he was doing a conference in Huntsville, Alabama earlier this year, and he's written several books. And one of the things he said was, I'm going to tell you up front, I want your money. And we were looking like, what? I want your money? He said, yeah, y'all going to go spend it on all this other stuff. Y'all thinking about what y'all going to spend it on out here outside? He said, I want your money. The reason I want your money is because I want what God has given to me to put into these resources to give to you. You can't get everything during this workshop that we're doing right now, but if you get the material that goes along with it, you can get a whole lot more. So I'm going to say to everybody, we want you to get the books. You know we have a book that's out there. Don't Leave Me Like This, An Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. You can get it on Amazon. We prefer you get it on our website, prfministry.org. And also on December the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd, that's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there will be a book signing that yours truly will be hosting or holding. It will be on Fort Benning Army Base in Georgia, right outside of Columbus, Georgia. It will be at the main post exchange on Marin Road. I will be signing books from 11 to 3, but there will be people from the team that will be there, and books will be available from the time that the store opens on Friday and Saturday from 9 until 7, and then also from the time that it opens on Sunday up until 5 or 6. But all that information is on our website, prfministry.org, prfministry.org. And we're just going to have a good time. So with that, God bless y'all. We will see y'all hopefully tomorrow on Kimberly's Show, Your Health is Your Wealth. And if not, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, because this will be our last show before Thanksgiving. And we hope and pray that everybody will take the things that have been said and take it to heart and know that we have nothing but great expectations for God's people. And we're just trying to push everybody to getting into the place where God wants us to be so that we can do the things that we are designed and destined to do by God, as Mark said, so that we can have dominion over the earth, which is what we're supposed to be doing. God bless y'all. We love you. Have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And we'll see y'all next week, or we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.